in Jesus' graders. You guys are dismissed. And let's have you got your hearts prepared to receive them today? Then let's do that right now.
Good morning. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord today. A few of you agree with me. That's good. That's good. All right, so today we're going to continue in our series that we started last week called Like Jesus. And, you know, over the Easter holidays and stuff, there's a lot that are open to the gospel, and we've had several give their lives to the Lord over the Easter weekend. And so we thought we'd go back and kind of go back to the basics of what Christianity is about and talk about that. And so it's for new believers in that we're going to Jesus and life on the earth and what he was like. And this is good for those people who've been saved for a long time, because it brings us back to our roots. It brings us back to where we started. And I believe that no matter how long that we've been a Christian, that we always need to come back to the very basics. Because, you know, when you're coaching, one thing that you got to make sure they know the fundamentals. And, you know, I heard of a baseball coach. It's actually a football coach. You know, college football coach. And he'd bring the guys in for the first spring practice, and he says, "Guys, this is a football. Go back to the basics, you know, go back to the beginning." I believe that's, as Christians, we need to do that too. We need to come back to where it all began, to remind us of the love of Christ, remind us of those things from the very beginning. And so through this series, we're talking about four aspects of Christ's life that we should... 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "If someone claims, 'I know God,' but he doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar, and he does not live in the truth." That's some, you know, good tough love right there, isn't it? He said, "But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him." Listen to this. "Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Christ did." And so that's what we're going back and talking to you about, is how did Christ live his life? In what ways can we reflect him in our everyday life so that we can be like Christ to this world? Because let me tell you something, this world needs Christ. They need what we've experienced in Christ. And if we don't show Christ to this world, then how are they ever going to know Christ? See, that's our jobs as Christians, to be salt, to be light on this earth. And it takes being like him. Now, I know we're not going to do it perfect, because I know you. I know me. I'm not perfect. I'm going to mess up. You know, I don't perfectly live out Christ. If I could, then I'm living in heaven. But anyway, and so what we're talking about is how can we live like Christ. And so last week, the first aspect of Christ's life that we looked at, and I think this is top priority, because everything else kind of stems out of this aspect, is that Jesus was one who would sit and spend time with the Father. It's funny in life, you know, life is busy. You know, there's always something going on. We got work, we got, you know, the kids got ball games. This is ball season for us. We got soccer and softball going on at the same time. And, you know, we're missing this practice to go to this practice. All the time just going and running. And it seems like the first thing that falls off in our life is our time with God, in which we should make that top priority in our life. Is like, this needs to be the thing that we make sure that happens today. You know, if I miss ball practice, it's going to be all right. You know, the world's not going to end. You know, but we need to make sure that, as Christ did, he made sure that he carved time out of his busy ministry schedule to seek the Father, to go off in the mountains and spend some time with his Heavenly Father. Because that is where our source is. That is where our energy comes from. That's where the strength in our life comes from, is those times when we spend in the presence of God. And we've got to learn to do that, not just on Sunday morning. Our worship team does a great job of worshiping and leading us into the presence of God. But if that's the only time you're in the presence of God throughout the week, then you're missing out. There is so much that we miss out on because we don't spend time with the Father on our own. You know, we should be spending time with the Father every day. Every day. And I believe that was reflected in the life of Jesus. So the second aspect of Jesus' life that I believe that we should reflect, and as we talk about Christ and talk about the Bible, we can't get around this subject. It's impossible. And that is the love of God. Jesus lived in love, and he lived with compassion. And I don't think you could talk about Jesus without talking about love. Because, I mean, in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." See, you can't separate love and God. See, love came from God. That's the only place that love comes from. And he exemplifies what true love is. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is dive into how Jesus loved. And the aspects of his love and his compassion for people. Because let me tell you something, if God didn't love you, he wouldn't have died on the cross for you. He wouldn't have made that sacrifice for you. And it's amazing what the love of God has done for us. And so as Christians, that should be one of the big things that shows up in our life, right? It's love and compassion. But how many times do you go to church? Like, you know, they go to church. You know, I'm in the church. It's fine. You're okay. I mean, the world at the church, are they loving compassion? Or are they looking at people in the fingers and they're going to hell? I mean, what do you think is more people? You know, if you don't sit there and just tell me I'm going to hell, I don't want to hear that. Because here's the thing. People know that there are people that are not right. So for us to tell that, it's just kind of taking salt, doing a little bit, and poking on it. They need what Christ gave us. That's what we let's talk about this. How did Christ love? First off, Christ loves unconditionally. Christ loves unconditionally. When we say we love, we will say, "I love you," or "I love you if." And we have conditional love. And I mean, it's because our love has not been perfected yet, as Christ is, but we have a tendency to put conditions on our love. And you know, let me talk to some single people real quick. If you're dating somebody and they say, "Well, if you love me, then," man, run, because that person doesn't love you. If they're going to try to pressure you by manipulating you by saying, "If you love me," man, that's not love at all. Never once tried his love. Say, "I love because you're you. Because you're is nothing to me. I can do anything for me." So God loves. So we're going to let's go to verse 9. It says, "This is love. This is what love is. Not that love him, but that he loves and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for sins." This is love. That love him. See, he doesn't fight us for loving him. He loves us because it's love. He loves us because that's who he is. And nothing changed that. There's nothing different about it. We hear all the time, "How could God have done all of these bad things?" And he doesn't care. That's what he would cross for you. He died to take care of that sin in your life, so you can no longer bound by that, and that you can him. Sin is an issue. Because he already took care of it. If you try to receive that, then sin is an issue in life. But God's sin is not an issue to him. It's the evidence of your life. Now, you're going to love. You're going to accept love in your life. Are you going to that base sin of you, that fruit of salvation he's extended to you? See, nothing else in your life is all your love is grace. Just come get it. Just recognize me as your Lord. Just say, I can't do this on my own. I've messed up enough to where I can't handle this life, and God, I need you. I need you to take control of my life, and I give you control of my life. And we step into that love and that grace of God, and sin's no longer an issue. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. Because I've done some stupid stuff in my life. I've sinned a time or two. And I need that love, and I need that grace. And see, here's the thing, in our lives, we're so sin conscious. Like, we're eat up with thinking about our sin so much that the enemy has us tricked into that's all that we think about. When God's like, "I've taken care of that stuff. Just come to me. Live in me. I've broken that power of that in your life. So let's throw that sin aside and not even talk about it, not even worry about it. If you sin, confess it. Let's move on." But we get so caught up into that, and we think about, "Oh, I gotta, you know, I got to think of all these ways that I'm not going to sin, and we just think about sin. And so what do? We sin, because that's what we're thinking about. Man, let's dive into the presence of God. Let's dive into the Word of God, and let's immerse ourselves into Him so when things happen, we think of Him and not sin. All right. Verse 19, he says, we love because, conditional love, man. We love because He first loved us. See, the thing is, we can't love God on our own. Like I said a while ago, love comes from God. Before you came to God, you could not love God. In fact, you couldn't truly love the people in your life. Because it's not until Christ comes into your life, when you give your life over to Him, the Holy Spirit comes to reside on the inside of you, and then true love can begin to become expressed out of your life. Until you truly give your life to Christ, you can't fully love. Your love will always be conditional. I mean, you can love to an extent, but true love only comes from Him. See, the only reason we can love God is because He loved us first. Y'all see that? It's all because of Him that we can love. And so let me say it this way. Because God loves us, we need to learn to love other people. We need to learn how to express that kind of unconditional love to other people in our lives. And this is hard to do. It's hard to love people unconditionally. Because some people are mean. Some people are ugly. I mean, they're going to come after you. But God says we need to love. To love our neighbor as ourselves. And see, we can't do that on our own. But we need Christ in our life. Because we can't do that. We can't do that. Do we love people because of what other people can do for us? Do we love other people because they praise us? Do we love other people because they do what we say? Or do we just love people? See, as we live in Christ, as we grow in Him, as we talked about last week, seek the Father and spend time with the Father and allow Him to come in and change our lives, to renew our minds, to do a work in our hearts. As we begin to do that, something happens and that God begins to perfect His love in us. See, when I first became a Christian, I didn't know how to love people. I didn't know how to love someone unconditionally. I didn't understand that I needed to love somebody no matter what they said or did to me. But as I grew in Christ and as I got to know Him and He began to do a work of grace in my life, that I began to understand that, hey, I can love somebody unconditionally. I wish I could say I did it perfectly, but I don't. Not even close. But we can get to the point to where we can, when someone does something to us, when someone talks about us, when someone's talking about how bad your kid is at soccer, don't be messing with my kids now, come on. But when they do that, that all of a sudden I can step back and say, hang on a second. This person may be attacking me. They may be attacking my child, but God loves that person. God loved that person enough to go to the cross for them. And then I begin to think, I wonder what's going on in their life for them to be acting this way. What's going on behind the scenes? What's going on in their home? There's a reason that they're lashing out. See, one thing that I've learned in life is that hurting people hurt people. There's a lot of hurting people out there that they don't know nothing else but to hurt other people because they want other people to feel what they're feeling. And there's times that people come after you not because of you, but because of them. Because they're hurting and they don't know how to respond other than to hurt people. And so as a Christ follower, as a believer, you know, just think about this. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, He had been beaten. He had been spat on. He had been mocked. He carried a cross all the way up the hill. They nailed him to the cross, and he was in the process of dying. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's huge. That's loving unconditionally right there. That the people that literally nailed him to the cross, and that they were tossing dice to see who gets his clothes, and they're hurling insults at him, literally in his face doing this, and he wants God to forgive them. Wow. See, he wasn't paying attention to their actions, but he was looking at their hearts, knowing that God loved those people and that those people needed to experience real love. And see, that's what we need to be reflecting in our lives, is that real love, that real God love that's unconditional. Listen to this in 1 John 4:19. It says, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. Man, John was tough in this chapter, wasn't he? This is a love chapter too. For whoever does not love his brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they haven't seen. And he has given us this commandment. Anyone who loves God must love their brother and their sister. See, this is not easy. I mean, this is tough stuff right here. But when we begin to think, see, we get caught up in the here and now. We get caught up in what's going on right now. But see, when Jesus was on the cross, he wasn't thinking about the here and now, was he? He was thinking about eternity. He was thinking about the ultimate goal that God sent him to do. And it goes way beyond this earth. It goes into eternity, to where people either live in the presence of God for eternity or they are suffering in hell for eternity. And see, that's what he was seeing when he was on the cross, when he said, Father, forgive them, because he didn't want those people to go to hell. Can we have that same compassion in our life? That when those people are acting that way to us, that we can have enough love of God in us that we think, I don't want this person to go to hell. It's so easy just to write people off. Well, that's just the way they are. They can be that way. But see, Jesus took the extra step, and he had love and compassion on those people. So first off, Jesus loves unconditionally. Second, Jesus loved us before we deserved it. Jesus loved us before we deserved it. Man, just think if we had to wait till we deserved God's love before he gave it to us. Man, none of us would ever make it. But see, he looked past us. Just think about the woman caught in adultery. John chapter 8. This is the scene, you know, Jesus is with his disciples. He's doing his thing, and the Pharisees, they're always trying to catch him and trying to trip him up and stuff. And so one day he's out and about, and the Pharisees drag this woman out into the street. He said, Jesus, we caught this woman right here in the very act of adultery. What do you say that we do? I mean, I'm sure this was an interesting scene because, first of all, how do they catch her in the act of adultery? I mean, really? I mean, are they like looking in windows and checking on people? And it's funny that they only drug the woman out there in this moment. See, this was a trap. They were trying to trap Jesus. And so they say, the law of Moses said we should stone her to death. Jesus, what do you say? Did that woman deserve any love or compassion in that moment? She was guilty. She was caught in the act. She knew the consequence of doing that would be death if she got caught. And she did it. She was guilty. And they drug her before Jesus. Said, Jesus, we caught her. The law says kill her. What do you say? Jesus said, you're right. The law of Moses does say that. But the person who has never sinned cast the first stone. See, this is life right here. See, how are we to point our finger at somebody else when we've done the exact same thing? See, we were never called to be the judge of people. We were never called to be the judge. That's Jesus' job. He earned that right to be the judge of the world. He's the only one who's ever walked this earth that has earned that title. And you know what? He said, I'm not condemning anybody. We might condemn ourselves if we reject Him, but He doesn't come to condemn us, but He came to give us life, and life to the full. And so here we see this, that Jesus loves us before we deserve it. See, that woman caught in adultery did not deserve that. She did not deserve His love and compassion in that moment. But yet it's funny how everybody left. Nobody threw a stone. Everybody left. And He looked at her and says, where are your accusers? He said, they're all gone. He said, did anybody condemn you? She said, no. He said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. See, this is the compassion that He has for humanity. Because there's people in your life that don't deserve the love of Jesus. In fact, you don't deserve the love of Jesus. I don't deserve it. But it's not about deserving. It's not about earning with God. In that He gave that free gift to us. See, I wish Christ was still here on the earth. I wish He was still walking around so that the world could see what real love is. That pure love that Jesus gave. But you know what? He's not here anymore. He's not walking the earth anymore. But you know what? He told us. The things that I've started, the things that I'm doing, He says, you go do the same thing. In fact, you're going to do bigger things than I did. I'm ready to see some bigger things. But it doesn't come without us loving like Christ loved. See, we want the power. We want to be able to cast out demons, and we want to be able to go do all this stuff, but we can't love people. It's not going to happen. If we want to see God do big things in our church and in our community, then we've got to come from the point of love and compassion for the world. Amen? Amen. All right. So Jesus loved unconditionally. Jesus loved us before we deserved it. And the third thing is that Jesus had compassion for the hurting and the lost. Ministering. And so let's read this in Mark chapter 6, verse 30. He said, the apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour, and they told Him all that they had done and taught. And Jesus said, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and let's rest a while. Has anybody ever been there and just like, man, let's get out of here, man. We got to go rest. We've been working hard. We need to, and that's where they were. It's like, let's go rest. Let's go find a place. Let's chill. Let's relax. He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and His apostles didn't even have time to eat. Now, I don't know about you, but when I don't get to eat, I get a little cranky. You know what I'm saying? You get hungry and you get angry. You get hangry, right? Anybody ever get hangry? Man, that's me. Don't feed me for a few hours and it's not pretty. Anyway, and so that's where they were. It's like they didn't even have time to eat. There were so many people coming and going. And so they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving. And the people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. I would have loved to have seen this. All right. And so they're getting in a boat, you know, on the Sea of Galilee. They're jumping in the boat. They're going to the other side. And they're like, hey, Jesus is leaving. All right, we're going to go. We're going to run. All right, we're going to run. And so they take off running around the lake and beat them over there. They're over there waiting on Him. And as they're going, they're grabbing more. Jesus is coming over here. Come on, let's go, let's go. And so they run to the other side of the lake and they beat them there. Says they ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. Jesus saw the huge crowd as He stepped off the boat. And He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So He began to teach them many things. But listen to this. This is big right here. He's tired. He's worn out. His disciples are tired. They haven't eaten. They're trying to get away from everybody. And you know, he steps out of the boat and he sees the multitude. It says he was moved with compassion. Why? Because they were lost, like sheep without a shepherd. They didn't know what was going on. I mean, they're just out there wandering around, and they see something that looks good, and so they go over there, and they're just looking at him with those hungry eyes and just like, Jesus, tell me something. Lead me. Do something. And see, this is the picture of the world today. Our world is lost. They're out there wandering around. They're making stuff up. I mean, they're just making up new stuff, new sins and stuff, and just because they're just lost. They don't know what's going on. They're looking for something real. They're looking for real love. They're looking for meaning in their life, and so they're just inventing stuff. When we have the answer. We have the answer. We have meaning. We have Christ in our life. We have that love that they're looking for. And what are we doing? We're sitting back in our comfortable church with the air conditioner on. Thank you, Jesus. Woo-hoo. What are we doing, guys? When was the last time you stepped out of the four walls of this church and was moved with compassion because of the hurt and the lost people out there? When was the last time that God moved on your heart and you just felt that? That word compassion there means loving from the innards is what it means. It's kind of weird and gross, but loving, in fact, it says like the heart and the liver and the bowels. And it's, have you ever had that in your stomach before where it's just like, just that love and just that you saw hurt and you're just like, oh, it just kind of hurts to see someone living like that. That's that compassion of God welling up on the inside of you. See, it's easy when you go on a mission trip and you step into a trash dump where 600 people are living and working. They're digging through the trash to find food. They're digging through the trash to find some clothes. And it's easy in that moment to have that compassion on the inside of you, just like, how can people live like that? But what about when you step inside of McDonald's? And there's lost and hurting people right there in front of you. Those ones that you might run across every single day. Do you have love and compassion for those who are lost and hurting? Does that ever well up on the inside of you in those moments? See, that's one of my prayers in my life is like, God, just help me have that compassion that Jesus had in his life when he looked over the crowd and he saw hurt. And he saw people wandering around and lost. And he was moved with compassion enough to put aside his own needs, his own desires to help other people. See, church, I believe this is where that we need to get to in our lives is that in our everyday life, that we're moved with compassion because there's hurting people out there. There's people lost as a goose out there. And we get mad at them. Because they looked at you funny. Man, we need to find that compassion in our heart again. See, right after this, we see the story of the feeding of the 5,000. So they were out in a remote area, and he said, guys, these people need to eat. Y'all feed them. Disciples like, what? So we had to work for months to get enough money to buy food for that. And so we see the story of him blessing the five loaves and the two fish, and they sit down and they eat and take up 12 basket loads of... This is compassion. See, I know there's a lot of people that feel the compassion on the inside of them. My question is, what are you going to do with it? I know it's scary when you see a need and you're moved with compassion and you just almost feel lost, like, what can I do? What can I do to help these people? Because it's overwhelming. But see, when we step out into those purposes that God's placed in our life, I believe those are purposes that God's placed in us. When we see a need and we're moved with compassion, that's God saying, hey, I want you to do something. But you don't have to do it alone because I'm with you even to the end of the age. And so as we step out in faith and do something, God blesses it and God blows it up and God ministers to people and He loves people and people experience the true love of God. See, that's what our town needs. That's what our community needs. That's what Independence County needs. It's people who are truly living out of that love and compassion of Jesus. And as we do that, we'll be amazed at what we see God do in our community. So to wrap this up today, talking about the love and the compassion of Jesus, I'm going to go back to John chapter 4, verse 17. I love this scripture. It says, "This is how love is made complete among us." See, that's what we're working towards. See, our love is not complete, but God is working in our lives to make love complete among us so that we have confidence in the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. See, if you want your love to be complete, be like Jesus the best you know how in this world. When you're at work, when you're at home, when you're on the ball field, when you're at McDonald's, when you're at Walmart, don't you know it's hard to be like Jesus at Walmart? Dear Lord in heaven. We need some compassion in Walmart. Compassion. But see, here's the thing. If you want to love like Jesus loves, do what you can right now. Love like you know how to right now. In the place that you're at, you may have been a Christian for a week. Love somebody like you know how to love them right now in Christ. And as you do that, your love will grow. Your compassion will grow for people. And if we continue to do that, and as God begins to grow that love and compassion on the inside of us, it'll begin to mature. It'll begin to grow. And that need that God placed on your heart the other day, you'll be able to do it. Not because of your strength, but because of God growing His love and compassion on the inside of you. See, if we want to live like Jesus in this world, we've got to have love and compassion. Let's pray. Father, thank You today. God, for the love and the compassion that You showed us. God, we couldn't love You. God, we didn't even know how to find You or to seek You. But God, we only came to You because You reached out to us. God, thank You. Thank You for loving us. God, help us to have the heart of Jesus, the heart of love and compassion for this hurting and lost world. God, help us to step out in that as You stir that on the inside of us. Help us to love that individual, that child that's in need. God, that person that's talking ugly about us, help us to love them. Not because of them, but because of You. God, because You love them. Father, we thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name. Prayer team, come forward. If you need prayer today, maybe God stirred something in your heart today and you just need to reach out to somebody and pray, I want you to do that today. But as we stand and we worship today, here's what I want every single person to do. I don't want you to sit back and listen to a song. I don't want you to think about what you're going to do after here. I want you to take this next 5 minutes and I want you to connect with your Father. I want you to respond to Him in the way that you feel like you need to today. Because here's one thing that I know about the Holy Spirit is that He's always at work in your life. He's always trying to talk to you. He's always trying to do something in your life. And I believe today that He spoke to you, not because of me, but because that's who He is. And that He wants to love you and make you better. And so today I want you to respond to Christ in the way that He wants you to today. Let's worship.